Thank you for tuning into the Truth is Oh wow, sorry. We are having some issues today. I just muted the mic and then unmuted.
It sounded like it sounded like Rodney King beating tape or something.
That's funny. That's Brother P, former Death Row artist. He worked with like Suge Knight and Tupac and those guys. So it's an honor to have him on. But it's an honor to have our guest, Vinny Eastwood, joining us. Vinny, thanks for coming on The Truth is Stranger Than Fiction.
Well, it's very nice to be here, and it's very, very true, isn't it? I've been arguing with people on Facebook over the last couple of days about things that, you know, should be pretty straightforward, but apparently not.
Every day it seems like the world gets a little crazier around us. I mean, we have cops out here just driving and hitting people. We got cops shooting people in the back. We got protests that the media doesn't cover here in Chicago. But that's why I like, networking with people like yourself, Vinny. You're on New Zealand. And if you don't know, I'd check out his credentials, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, TheRealGorillaMedia.com, GorillaMedia.co.nz, and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You're well accomplished, and I like the fact that you're younger and you're winning the battle, man.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm winning the battle. I'd simply say I'm surviving it. And ultimately, that's what people don't get, is that this is a war of attrition. It's not like one day you're going to wake up and it's beaten or anything. Just they go into it with this expectation that, oh, it's going to be a couple of years and then I'm going to be a successful talk radio show host. I'm going to have all these sponsors and everything's going to work out. I went into it with the opposite standpoint, that it's going to be really, really hard, really long, really drawn out. And I'm probably going to get exterminated at the end, and dedicated my life to the truth anyway, because I had an obligation, really.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Actually, I couldn't have put in any better words myself. I knew this was going to be, you know, long haul, long fight, 12 rounds, and just hoping that I could survive. And like you said, it's actually an obligation, a duty to inform people.
I mean, people don't go on the battlefields to fight Nazis or something like that because, oh, it's going to be fun, we're going to be successful. No, they're doing it because Nazis are trying to take over the world, right? Or at least that's what the lie they were shown. So I think it's the same deal nowadays, and everybody has a responsibility to do whatever they can. If you're an inventor or a talk radio douchebag like me with no shame, there's all number of ways that you can contribute to exposing a little bit of scumbaggery. And for those of you with American accents who can't understand the word, it's scumbaggery.
Scumbaggery. I like that. But yeah, no, I mean, and if everyone just did a little bit, just put in a little effort each day, I mean, we'd have huge strides, but instead it's what that is, like taboo to know what's going on.
Mm. Well, I think it's because you get dissed for being a conspiracy theorist, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, I got that a lot yesterday. I got something here to read out. When I get angry with people who are insulting, stupid, working a slave job, giving their debt and tax money away to the government, and telling anybody that's trying not to that they're dangerous or whatever, it just gets my goat, and I can't help but respond sometimes, you know, just to defend myself. All right, so a lot of people call me a conspiracy theorist. Well, just in my defense, I'll be completely honest with you. I'm a twice convicted cannabis user and university dropout. My last paycheck from my sales job was $15,000 after tax, including $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers, and that was for 1 month in 2007. I then quit my job, bought a handycam, bought a tripod and an iMac. Ever since 2012, I've been 100% listener and viewer supported with a few loyal sponsors. I'm the first New Zealander to be given a US-based talk radio show 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. That's been running for 5 years so far. My YouTube channel has 20,000 subscribers, roughly, which is almost twice as much as the New Zealand Herald TV, which are the second which are the second most subscribed YouTube news channel in New Zealand behind mine, and they are the the largest newspaper in New Zealand. I've made 3,000 plus videos, conducted several thousand interviews on hundreds of topics. I've been interviewed hundreds of times on different talk radio shows in New Zealand and worldwide, interviewed and published by New Zealand mainstream media newspapers twice, been on the news and had my footage news used by them a number of times, put more New Zealand activists on air and online than any other single person or organization in history, have the largest free online archive of interviews, protests and public meetings with more people and on more topics in long form and unfiltered to rival any news organization on earth. I ran a fundraiser for new equipment during Christmas in 2014, and I got $2,000 for a new camera donated in 1 week. And then a month or two later, I asked for $6,000 for a new Mac Pro. And one listener gave me that $6,000 in cash because he just had it lying around. And that's what he normally lives off during the summer, so he needs to be paid back by the end of the year. And as soon as I told people about that, two listeners donated $500 and $1,500 respectively within 48 hours, which I gave directly back to the guy who gave me the money for the new machine. And the goal is to raise the remaining $4,000 by the end of the year, and so far I've been putting a bit in savings by myself, but we'll be doing a big donation drive again in a few months to raise the rest. The equipment I've been donated over the years is two wireless microphones, a GoPro Hero 3, Kodak ZI-8, three tripods including a fluid head, one big set of studio lights with their own stand, a portable light, a shoulder mount, an iMac i5, iMac i7, a Mac Pro 2013 3.5GHz 6-core 16GB RAM machine. I have good and expensive equipment to do the job, but I live on a very, very tight budget. The most extravagant thing I could afford this morning was peanut butter on toast. Few of the people who try to antagonize me with name calling have enough street cred to convince anyone to give so generously to support their work. But yeah, you could call me a conspiracy theorist, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that goes back to the definition of a conspiracy theorist. It's, you know, a lot of what we say is really not theory, it's fact. And they'll still label us under that blanket, that vague term, conspiracy theorist. You could have the government documents in front of their face, and ever since John Kennedy died, that's the term they use.
Look at me, I've got some government documents.
Jesse Ventura. Oh, man, that's... I got to look up to, you know, your work. Like you said, you've put out so much,
I'd actually advise against it. No, seriously.
Why is that?
Well, the reason why I make so much content is because I stopped listening to everybody else's content and started making my own. You're already making your own. Don't keep listening to other people and wasting your time accumulating new crap. Make more stuff of your own. You'll cross the Rubicon once you realize that you spend more hours a day creating content rather than consuming it. But, you know, I'm not gonna tell people don't listen to my show. It's there's a reason to listen to it, and only really one reason, and that's to have fun. Okay? I mean, if you're sick of feeling depressed, alone, angry, afraid, full of rage, frustrated with frickin' stupid people, then you can listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show. And we will tell you all the same information and interview much of the same guests as any of the top other alternative talk radio shows out there. But it will all be done in the context of having fun with that guest and making shitty jokes.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of approach I like to take too. Is we're going to cover these topics, but odds are it's going to be pretty bland, and, you know, if we copied everybody else. So we try to inject some humor, too, and some sarcasm and things like that, because you can get overwhelmed and depressed with just the wealth of information coming out there that's negative.
Yeah. Well, like I say, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, I had a gun pulled on my head, was it 2 weeks ago now? By Chicago police, man.
Well, they probably felt that they could do that because they know none of the citizens are armed and can shoot back, which is probably why the mafia bribed them all, so they're probably one of the most corrupt police forces in the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then on top of it, they make TV shows about how corrupt they are as well. Like, yeah.
It was real funny. Me and my mate were driving around the other night, and we saw these cops driving past, and all of a sudden I heard this this noise going off. Do-do-do, do-do-do, bad boys, what you want, what you gonna do? Like, the song just came on in the car, inexplicably, at the same time a cop was going past us. We just burst out laughing, man.
That had to be an awkward moment, but unfortunately, that's when the police's ratings have been the highest here in the States, is when bad boys was... Oh, cops. Oh, man, that's a good show, man.
Oh, there's scary people. It's like, I fear cops for the same reason I fear judges, and for the same reason I fear gang members, because they have no respect for the law.
That's true. That's true. We had, I was down on the south side of Chicago. We had a torture center down there where they're actually learning how to torture here in Chicago, and then using it on the people in Guantanamo Bay. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, you're right. That is how they basically keep their power here, is through fear.
I thought about this, actually. I imagine yesterday that I was in solitary confinement and sensory deprivation. I got a blindfold on and headphones on. So I can't hear and I can't see anything. Now, you lose track of time, and time seems to go really slowly. This is what they do in Guantanamo Bay to break you. You can't hear yourself talk, but I found that you can hear yourself hum. You know? So it's just...
Oh, that drive me nuts.
I was just thinking, you know, like... I'm sitting there, like, imagining myself actually sitting there on my knees... Hands bound behind my back, big blacked out goggles on my face, and a giant pair of ear guards or whatever to keep out the sound. And I'm just sitting there humming, you know, like Danny Boy or something like that. And really... just sitting there almost meditating, because it'd be the only sound that I could hear, because I'm not hearing the sound itself. I'm hearing the vibrations come through my jaw into my brain. I don't know why I thought of that. I think it was like, I'm afraid, bro. Like, I'm really, really utterly terrified of being arrested, or being taken to a concentration camp, or being taken into court, or something like that. That stuff scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, me too. Out of your hands at that point.
I mean...
There's nothing to do.
There really isn't, because you're in a position where you've been deprived of all power. And I just don't like that dynamic. I mean, I've been through it my entire life, where the people that have power over you always wind up abusing it. Whether that be your boss or your parents or your brother or sister when they're in charge, you know, it doesn't matter. Whoever the hell you give power to winds up abusing it at some point to a large degree. Unless, of course, they have massive checks and balances on that power, you know, other people that they share it with to keep them in balance. So when you're in those situations, like you said, when you got a gun pointed at your head with a cop, and you know that cops will just itchy trigger finger mother frackers, they will just pop you, and you know you'll never see them lose their job or even in most cases even see a day in court. It's extraordinary. And
you're right.
I think what people have forgotten, particularly in the United States, is that you're not alone in this fight. You guys think that you're the only ones with a police state? You think that you're the only ones with fluoride in the water? You think you're the only ones with chemtrails, corrupt politicians, and child pedophile rings that are selling children to judges and police behind the scenes? Hell no. Hell no. It's going on everywhere. It's a globalized system. Anybody who's traveled will get off a plane in any particular country, and if they know the New World Order, they go, look at the design in that. Okay, well, we must be dealing with the such and such branch of the New World Order. I mean, think about police. Like I said before, they don't seem to spend a day in court, right? So, in New Zealand, since 1990, 1,433 people have suddenly died following contact with the Royal New Zealand Police. Not even one police contract killer has been convicted of murder or manslaughter. And while corrupt government is threatening you with terrorists who are statistically proven to be 8 times less dangerous to you than your own police.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's something that people just can't wrap their head around. And on top of it, too, it's the fact that the police, like you said, when you don't hold them accountable on the same level as a citizen, you're opening the door for more and more corruption. And unfortunately, like you said, this is a global thing. This isn't just a U.S. thing. However, the U.S. either completely covers some issues up, like we had a protest here in Chicago about police brutality that did not see a minute of news time on any major network. Then after that, they'll either, if it does get out, they'll run with it but play the race card. And is the racial tension the same across the world, or do you think it's elevated here in the U.S.?
Well, there's what you call the media focus, okay? So whatever you focus on, that will be what fills your attention. Pretty straightforward, right? If you're watching The Walking Dead, what are you going to remember after watching The Walking Dead? Will you remember police brutality, or will you remember the episode of The Walking Dead? All right?
Good.
So, in the United States, you guys are like the center for exposing the corruption and the scumbaggery. That's the reason why I started doing what I'm doing in New Zealand, because I used to be an Alex Jones fan. I used to listen to it every day. I love it. Absolutely loved it. I even found a new way to clear my throat by using an Alex Jones voice. If you say the word derivatives in an Alex Jones voice, your throat is instantly clear. We found this out when we were doing a radio play where I was doing an impression of the narrator being Alex. It was great.
Derivatives.
See? And the throat is clear. I now actually feel fabulous. But, yeah, after a while, you get to think, have I seen enough? I don't know if you've ever watched a couple of movies and you think to yourself, man, I think I've watched enough movies for a bit, and you don't see another and you don't see another one for a while. It's kind of like that. I'd seen hundreds of documentaries inside of 6 months. I think on average I was 2 to 3 documentaries per day for a period of 6 months, and I had a geometric growth in my knowledge base. So I was like, okay, who here in New Zealand is doing the Alex Jones equivalent? Nobody. Not one YouTube channel, not one radio show, not one newspaper publication. Okay?
Yeah.
This place
is Chicago.
It's freaking dead, right? And so I found the one person who was doing something. His name is Jonathan Eisen. Uncensoredpublications.com, for those of you in the US, can get his magazine. And he's been producing the whole ball of wax for maybe a couple of years before I even woke up, sort of thing. And he mentored me a little bit, and but ultimately it was just the fact that I went out and started working and I filled in the blanks. Okay, so I knew that there was a massive gap in alternative talk radio and a massive gap in alternative video. So nobody else was going to do it, and I knew that nobody else could do it because nobody else had the time, the resources, or the talent to do it. He, with the ability, has the frickin' responsibility, doesn't he? You know? Could you imagine if I'd just gone, no, I'd rather keep making $15,000 a month selling bullshit for a living.
I had to take the same leap, but I was making even less. I was making $170 a year coaching high school football, and I just kept seeing all, you know, I'd basically been awake for a couple of years prior to then, just speaking to my friends and to even players, things like that, and parents. But after a while, I was like, I got to expand this. There's nobody else doing anything in Chicago, and for some reason, people out here don't seem to like Alex Jones based off of either his Texas accent or whatever it is. They just don't like him, so I figured, hey, I got to try something here. And it's been over a year now, so, and I could see that there's, you know, InfoWar signs up now, like bumper stickers and things like that. So, I mean, Liberty is on the rise, but it's an uphill battle.
Well, I've got two InfoWars stickers on my car. I mean, I don't really like Alex Jones anymore. I don't listen to him, but I do know that that was where I went first. He is the gateway drug of the truth movement. You know, there's no other way to say it. He gets you addicted. You go into a fetal position. You get problems with your family, and then you start to go a little bit crazy, and then you get off the junk, and you start going on to even harder stuff. Right.
That's true. That's a good analogy. That's a really good analogy.
And I'm not saying, you know, Alex Jones is bad for you. I'm just saying that sometimes it's too much of a good thing.
That's a good point. I mean, I've never thought about it like that, but that's a good point.
I remember one time I was like shrieking at a camera woman, oh my God, get out of there, get out of the front.
I used to just love watching this rant, you know, like I would wait the whole show to hear him just snap about something and just laugh, you know, any opportunity I can. But if you think about it, you're taking all this negative information in, like you said, and how it's presented. Yeah, it could be some dark, dark days if you don't lighten up the mood a little.
Well, he's become a caricature of himself, you know, that's what I've found. You know, it's like somebody doing an impression of himself. I think I've seen videos of people doing impressions of him, but anyway, the whole point I was trying to make here is it doesn't matter who you're looking up to, it doesn't matter who inspired you. There are many, many different ways to get to the truth, and ultimately, the way to finish that journey to the truth is not by continuing to sit back and listen to other people tell it to you and never apply any of that knowledge, never create anything yourself. Okay? It is insulting to the very purpose of people who try to spread truth to keep continuing to listen to them once you already know it and not to contribute in some way. We can't do it all. That's the foolish thing a lot of listeners do. I'm not insulting the listeners. Most of you, I'd probably say about 80% of my audience are people who are probably about as bright as me, I'd say. And that's like really humbling that people who I believe are smarter than me actually listen to my show for their entertainment. And many people who I've respected have told me so. Because despite the fact that they're really intelligent and they understand the issues, it's very, very difficult to have the energy and the creativity to make a joke out of something that is so effing horrible that you can barely even contemplate how bad it is, let alone make fun of it. I seem to have that that unique talent and that unique gift. There's plenty of really credible researchers out there who you can listen to, who will give you information that you don't need to search up yourself and what have you. But I'm not that guy, okay? I'm not a credible journalist. I'm an incredible journalist. You know what the great thing about having no credibility is? You can admit you're wrong about something and not lose any credibility.
That's a good point, too. Oh, wow. I'm telling you, it's good to have you on the show and light up the mood here.
Yeah,
that's a good point too, though, man. You're right.
Yeah, try not to take it too seriously. I mean, it's just the end of the world.
That's it. You know, it's just everything's over. But don't panic. Everything will be okay. Like you said, what's the point of dying if you don't have a little fun?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's the point of being killed? What was I saying on the United We Strike broadcast the other day? They tried to introduce me as like, so Vinny, what do you do? And I go, well, I try to make everything, just put everything into perspective for you, you know? Like, so what if you've got criminal governments, you know? So what if you've got level 6 biotoxins named monofluoroacetate in the water there? So what if there's aluminum, barium, and strontium making its way through your lungs from the chemtrails that are being consistently sprayed over your head right now? So what if you have actually simultaneously bathed in several 4G and smart meter Wi-Fi signals and what have you that are about 15,000 microwatts, the recommended dose being 1? It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter that you're also surrounded by huge quantities of carbon monoxide or whatever that's poisonous for you coming out of the back of everybody's cars. It doesn't matter that all of your energy saver light bulbs are cancer causing. It doesn't matter that your brain is melting and you will soon be some form of android vegetable. Okay, things aren't that bad.
That's a great picture to think about. It's not bad at all, right? It's happened to everybody. At least they're not discriminating, huh?
See, my philosophy is know the poison, but drink it anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of like what alcoholics do, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Hey, look, mind control is addictive, and I suppose that we're all really dealing with some kind of addiction on some level, aren't we? Especially people in the truth movement. It's like there are some who are medical doctors and what have you. They actually go through this this big period of depression from spending 7 years in a medical institution and then spending about 14 years learning that everything that they learned was wrong and then relearning it again.
You know? You're right.
That'll fuck off, bro.
I had to go through that same process. I was like, man, every damn book I ever bought and went into debt in college for was a big piece of shit. I'm sorry. It's all lie after lie after lie.
Yeah. Well, that's why I dropped out of university. I was doing film and media studies, right? I did 2 years of film and media studies. You know how many videos I made? Zero.
One.
Zero.
Oh, wow.
All right. And then I quit university and started making videos on my own. And in 2 years, you know how many videos I made? 750.
Yeah. And what better way to learn something than actually do it, you know?
Exactly. And that's what I'm getting at. Okay? If you want to learn how to do talk radio, just do it. If you want to invent a doomsday machine, just do it. What's the worst that can happen? You know? You ever heard of the Large Hadron Collider? You know, the super collider, they're like, okay, bro, we've got $8 billion spare. Why don't we just build a particle accelerator? They're like, fuck it. And they build this, you know, it's underground, four countries and what have you. And they go, so what are we going to do with it now that we got it? They go, well, how about we find out the mysteries of how the universe and the Big Bang started? Oh, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. Who postulated the theory of the Big Bang, you ask? Why, the Catholic Church. Who reckoned that Adam and Eve had sex, and that was the Big Bang. And all the universe got jismed out. And the thing is, they were like, okay, well, what's the possible consequences of this, all right? We want to find out the way that the matter of the universe really, truly began. So, theory is, we're going to smash these two particles together at near light speed, and they're going to create a new kind of matter, and then we'll know the mysteries of the universe. And they're like, sweet ass. Well, what's the possible consequences? Well, it might create a black hole and kill everybody on Earth. And they're like, fuck it. Let's go ahead with it. And so they crash these two particles together, and they explode, and they do form a new kind of matter that appears only for a second and then disappeared and had no practical benefit. And they called it doesn't matter.
I almost spilled on myself laughing, but you're right, though. That's exactly actually how it happened, too. And the funny thing is, all the consequences that they say it could happen from running this machine are just horrible. Like you said, a black hole, light the atmosphere on fire, but they still go ahead with it.
Yeah. If anybody reckons that your country or your planet isn't run by people who are completely nuts, explain to me then, riddle me this, what kind of sane person would do all the stuff that's going on the planet right now? The answer is, they wouldn't.
Not one sane person, I think, has any power in this planet, and that's the sad thing. You know, it's almost like a requirement to be out of your mind to hold on.
I disagree. The people on this planet that have power have it given to them to have power over other people. But they get given to them by people like us who go along and comply. We're actually the ones with all the power in the situation. And because we're the only ones who can create power out of nothingness. They can't. They can't manifest. Right? If you got a script idea in your head, or for a documentary or whatever, or a song, or whatever it is, and you just leave that idea in your head and you don't write it down, do you manifest it into the 3D universe so it can affect other people within this 3D hologram? No? Yeah, because you're just keeping it in your head. Psychopaths can't create things in their heads. They can take things that are like somebody else's idea and twist it, distort it, change around little details and everything, but in terms of coming up with things all on their own, no.
Wow.
We've got that ability. We can manifest things that don't exist in reality yet, but it's only through our will, and I think this is what was said on Jurassic Park, creation is an act of sheer will. Now, instead of maybe building a huge device, risking everybody's lives, and wasting a shockingly large amount of money, why didn't any of those scientists focus on creating something amazing and will it into existence? Something useful, something practical, something that solved a really interesting problem. Instead, they just wanted to find the Higgs moron particle. I think that's the German pronunciation.
No, you're right. I mean, look at all the people starving. That money could have been donated for just food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty incredible to think of that we let our elected officials, people in positions of power, to get away with things like that. But like you said, we have to manifest the actual thought of the pressure, put the pressure on them. Otherwise, there's never going to be real change.
Mm-hmm. And
the power is in the people, really, though.
Well, the thing is, everybody says it's power in the people. But I think of it in a purely selfish point of view, because I think it's the only way that actually works, is if you selfishly look at a situation and you think, what do I want out of this situation and what can I contribute to the situation? Okay, so I want continued survival for myself, I want prosperity for myself, and I want freedom for myself. Then you think about how you can contribute to the situation. How many problems are there? How many ways is the New World Order screwing you every day? The answer is infinite amounts. So how many is... So therefore, there's no limit on what way or in what fashion you resist the New World Order, as long as you're resisting in some way. I met up with a couple of my listeners at a birthday party that one of my listeners invited me to. And they say, oh, you just do so much more than me, Vinny, you do so much better. And I go, whoa, hold on a second here. I'm just doing one particular thing. It doesn't mean that it's worth more or less than anything you're doing. So just explain to me for a moment, what are you doing that the New World Order doesn't want you to right now? Are you raising your kids well? And they go, yeah, we're feeding them organic food and we're giving them loves and hugs and we're educating them and stuff. And I go, well, you're already doing your part then. Okay, it doesn't matter what you do to resist the New World Order, as long as you resist, regardless of your chances of victory, because this is humanity, this is human evolution, this is all existence and everything that we hold dear, all of our family, all of our friends, all of the past, and all of the present and all of the future are simultaneously on the line. That's how serious the situation is. and it does no good to be too serious about it, in my opinion.
Well said.
Just so long as you take some action.
Yeah. And your average person, how would you best say, your definition would be to take action, like, without really, you know, changing your lifestyle? Just eat organic, give your money to the smaller companies, or how would they approach that?
How about asking yourself a few questions? Am I happy? When you're about to make a decision, ask yourself this question. Does it feel right? When you say something, ask yourself this question. Do I really know what I'm talking about? When you think you know what you're doing with your life, ask yourself this question. Am I the cosmic schmuck? Am I just a really big idiot? You know how you can tell how somebody's a really big idiot? If they never question whether or not they're a really enormous idiot.
That's a good point, yeah.
Okay, so we've been layered up with these psychoses, and what people are freaking foolishly doing, repeatedly making this mistake, is asking somebody to give them the solution. Okay? If you don't understand the problem at all, how exactly are you going to implement a solution that will work in a long-lasting fashion? The answer is you're probably not going to be able to. Find yourself. That is the most important thing, first of all. Know what your starting point is. If everything you think you know is a lie, and you start thinking about that as your starting point for working out reality for yourself for a change, working out who you are without anybody telling you what you should do with your life, without anybody telling you what education institution you should go through to be indoctrinated into doing some bullshit that you don't fucking give a fuck about. I mean, am I wrong? Am I speaking?
Oh, you're right.
Am I That's speaking great. Mandarin right. here? What? People haven't gotten this idea.
Yeah. No, you got to realize you don't know anything until you can learn anything. Then you got to realize you don't know shit till you can become at least a little better educated. And like you said, it's a lot about, too, being looking for the information on your own and not relying on, like, an Alex Jones or someone to provide it for you.
Yeah. I don't appeal to authority. Because authority, as I said, always gets misused. So if you're going to trust somebody because they're an authority figure, you're trusting somebody who's misusing the information by default.
They came out with actual disease for that. I guess they're here in the States, at least. They're claiming, like,
oppositional defiance disorder.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I love the other one that they said was
asshole disorder.
No, the other one, and they called us, is non-violent extremists. And I like that title, because I am extremely non-violent.
Yeah, and push things to the limit, so that's actually a compliment.
Conspiracy theorists, I'd take as a compliment if somebody meant it as a compliment. All right, but the problem is, you know, you got like pro-vaccination people, for example. I was reading this out on the show yesterday. It's bloody great. It's been liked hundreds and hundreds of times and shared nearly 87 times on my Facebook. It's like pretty out there. A pro-vaccine person was arguing me with this one time and asked, "Do you even know what peer-reviewed means?" And I go, "Yes, I do know what peer-reviewed means." In point of fact, what a peer review is what that the Rockefeller Foundation, who incidentally provide all the drugs made from crude oil waste products, sent a man named Flexner around US medical schools once upon a time. Flexner ordered all medical schools that didn't meet his quote-unquote standards, i.e. anything that is not drug-based medicine, would be closed. Herbology, reflexology, naturopathy, homeopathy, chiropractic, whatever the hellopathy you could possibly think of. Basically, closed any school that was teaching any medical practice other than a pill for every ill. Ever since then, the peer review is a way of keeping any inconvenient research from being verified. For example, everyone thinks the level 6 biotoxin hydrofluorosilicic acid, aka fluoride, is safe and effective, right? Because there are 5,000 peer-reviewed studies on the effects of fluoride on teeth to prove it. But there are very few, if any, peer-reviewed studies of fluoride's effects on the brain, the liver, the bones, the immune system, reproductive organs, the environment, skin, eyes, digestion, or virtually anything that is affected by the ingestion of fluoride. There have been many studies proving that it's dangerous, but of course, most of them are not peer-reviewed. Just imagine for one moment, that you don't know everything. Imagine for a moment that everything you think you know is a lie. Imagine for a moment that all the crazy people are the sane ones and that you are the madman. Imagine for a moment that you're so crazy that you don't even know how crazy you are. And then imagine for a moment that all this didn't happen by accident, but it's the results of a deliberate plan by groups of madmen far more insane than you could ever possibly imagine.
Wow. That was well said. I'm feeling it, man. I was imagining it in my head, and now I got the chills, man. That's what we're dealing with here, man.
Sorry, bro.
This is what we're dealing with, though. We got to look at it as it is, man. Oh, wow. I mean, who's to say that they're not the right ones and we're the crazy ones, though, huh?
Yeah.
I get that a lot all the time, too. So there's people that have to be in power, don't you? You just don't like anyone that's in power. There has to be something.
How about instead of having people in power, you have every person being empowered? You know,
I should have said that.
wouldn't that be great if everybody didn't have to follow somebody else's frickin' law? I mean, look,
yeah.
Here's my problem with authority. It has no lines. All right, authority is as much power as you give it, and if you give it enough, it'll take everything. All right, it's just that simple. So, I'm inherently against power and authority on this one basis. Is that once you've given enough of it, it can't be reeled back without death, blood, destruction, and resistance. And I really don't like the idea of people having to go through civil wars and global conflicts and deprogramming 20 years of brainwashing in a mind control institution called elementary school. You know, it's just, it's out of control, it's not fun, and I don't enjoy doing this job. Okay, I really don't. I wish I were doing something else, but I cannot do anything else. I can't.
I know the feeling.
All right, I would love to be able to just sell people nonsense over the telephone again, you know, and make like $70 an hour. That was fun, man. I was able to go out to bars, spend $100 in an hour and not even have to worry about it, kind of thing.
I've noticed, yeah.
I had a cubic zirconia encrusted white metal belt buckle in the shape of a giant dollar sign, bro. All right.
You had a big pimpin' over there, big pimpin'.
I was pimping it out. I literally had a triple jet fueled lighter, that had the word pimpinology inscribed in it with calligraphy.
That's awesome.
Okay, but I was a wanker, alright? A complete, soulless, self-absorbed, selfish wanker. Okay? And I realized this because I was questioning myself, going, am I a soulless, selfish wanker?
I know the feeling. Yeah, you have those days. Sometimes I wonder how it'd be to go back to that lifestyle. You know?
Yeah, but
I'm in the same boat.
It's like in the Matrix. You know, you remember everything after you've been woken up to it, and you can't plug yourself back into the power plant. It's just not possible. So the thing I found is that it's just about coping mechanisms. So if you've got good friends and a few laughs all the time, then it'll help to keep you sane, you know? You don't need to push stuff on people all the time. It's like a lot of truthers are actually acting kind of like the born-again Christians. You know how they come up against people and they're just really, really angry with you and they're trying to convert you to... I mean, you
it's
can't
like
convert
in the movement constantly.
Yeah, you can't convert somebody into being a neo-Nazi like that, bro. You can't convert somebody into being anti-fluoride. You can't convert somebody into being a 9/11 truth activist. You don't have that kind of power. All right, it's what I call the seventh man. Statistically speaking, if one person is holding onto an idea, let's say that's really, really strongly rooted in there, like, for example, the government is not a bunch of ruthless criminal scum that are trying to exterminate me. So that's like your general base belief, you know. They're nice, they're friendly, they're there to help me, they're there to not rob me on a daily basis, they're there to protect me from myself. Okay, so, and then you go and you tell them, well, actually, they're a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbags that are owned by criminal bankers. They go, no, no, you're just a conspiracy theorist. And the second person comes up to them maybe 6 months later and they go, hey, bro, did you know the government's run by a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery? And he goes, no, no, you're just a conspiracy theorist. And by the time the seventh man comes round, he goes, hey, bro. And he goes, what? He says, have you ever wondered if the government's actually run by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery? And he goes, you know what? I have been starting to wonder about the ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. I think I might start researching into it. Boom!
That's a good point. The light bulb goes off.
Okay, but in practical terms, you don't know whether or not you're that seventh man. If you are, it's a lot of responsibility because you're at somebody's break-open point. So the best thing you can do is actually give them sources of people that helped wake you up, you know, send them to those websites and what have you, and tell them to question themselves and that kind of thing, because not only do we not question what we believe, we don't question our own motives, right? I acknowledge that I'm a bit narcissistic. I wouldn't be a good radio show host if I wasn't. But I always question myself, man. I'm unlike malignant narcissists in that manner. Those people are freaking nasty. They literally don't care about anybody. They only love themselves. I love me, but I love you too. And so you got to keep sort of like checks on yourself, especially when you're going into this movement. But anyway, if you are that seventh man, you can sit down. You have the like one of the best conversations of your life with these new people who are only just freshly awakening. Man, you can see the light in their eyes as you turn the light out by telling them the truth, which makes them really afraid and depressed. Which, you know, it's unfortunate, but we all have to go through it. It's a grief process, right? The government is a loved one. And you lose your loved one the day you realize 9/11 is an inside job, the day you realize the cops are above the law, the day you realize the law itself is corrupt. And however, if you're not that seventh man, you will just simply get called a conspiracy theorist or a tinfoil hat wearer or something like that. Now, in person, I call it the information grenade approach. You pull the pin, you chuck in a fact. If they don't like it, walk out and or never mention that again. Wait until six other people play their part. All you have to do is play yours. You don't have to have any responsibility. You see a girl there at the checkout, and she's touching the BPA-containing ink on the receipts while she's handing you your groceries. And you go, hey, do you know they put bisphenyl alanine in the ink on those receipts there? And they go, no, what's that? And they go, well, they call it BPA, and it will give you breast cancer if you touch the receipts too much. Maybe you want to look into that. And they go, oh, okay. And you know she won't look into it, but maybe another six people will say something to her. You never know.
Wow, that's a good point. You just got to do your part. Do your part. It could be something little like that. It could save her life.
Yeah. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something.
That's a good point. You know, it's I try to do that every day, warn people, things like that. And like you said, there's sometimes you could see it sinking in, and then there's other times it's like, well, I just wasted my breath, you know.
That's why I like to deliver almost everything as a joke.
Yeah, it's a good method.
Because at least if I'm telling them they're being exterminated, I'm getting them to laugh about it.
And actually they'll probably sink in and they'll remember that more than if I'm coming up and I tell them in a serious manner and take the serious approach. I bet you your approach would have a greater effect.
Well, honestly, I don't know if it does, because let's say you see a random person, let's say you're in a big metropolis or whatever, what's the likelihood you meet somewhat random person on the street or whatever, you say one thing to them, and what's the likelihood that your paths will cross again?
Not very likely.
Not very freaking likely. So it's very difficult to keep a track on everybody that you've ever said something to. For example, one of my best friends back in the day, we went to university together, and he introduced me in 1 year to The Truth and Lies of 9/11 by Michael Rupert from thewilderness.com, The Comedy of Bill Hicks, and The Amazing Cannabis of New Zealand. Right? And he probably has no idea how massively those tiny little introductions in my life, what kind of effect that they've had. I mean, I've made hundreds of cannabis protest videos, interviewed the heads of parties and things of that nature, cannabis activists from around the world, Rick Simpson several times. Just hold on a second. I'm on the radio, sorry. Please call back later. I think what's happening in society now is that we forget how massive little things can be. You know what I'm saying? We do one little thing for one little person, and then all of a sudden that kind of snowballs, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it gets completely overwhelming, and boom, you've really changed something. And this is why, again, when you're dealing with trolls and people who don't want to know the truth, people who call you a conspiracy theorist or a tinfoil hat wearer or whatever, just block them on Facebook, block them on YouTube, block them on Twitter or Skype or however they try to make contact with you. Block, and the scum is gone. They don't
feed off the negativity.
They don't flood you with their negativity is the thing. However, I have noticed an ironic counterpoint to this. Namely, that when I do argue with them, I argue really calmly, really succinctly, and totally disembowel them. But except they don't know it, because they're too frickin' stupid to realize how frickin' stupid they are. So what I do then is I simply copy-paste my comments to those people, block them, and then paste the comments and reword them a little bit as though it were just a normal Facebook post. And then you get hundreds and hundreds of likes and hundreds of shares, because everybody has to deal with trolls. Anybody who's ever talked anything about frickin' conspiracy has been called names before. This is something that is so wide-ranging, and everybody can get in on it. People hate being treated like crap.
That's a good point. I mean, I just got attacked for making money when I don't even make any money doing the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I know how hard it could be to just, I actually did a response video. I shouldn't even have done that. I should have taken the approach of just ignoring them, give them fuel.
Well, the thing is, it's like, I think it was the Native Americans. They used to, whenever they cut down a tree, they'd plant two more. So for every troll that you interact with, copy and paste two really great words of wisdom that you tried to give them that you know that they won't listen to, and just paste it onto your own Facebook wall. Take something away from those experiences, and then block the scum, and you won't have to hear from them again. They really don't like it, and that's why I love doing it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ignore, block, report.
Yeah. And what was it, somebody, what you just reminded me of there, somebody accuses you of taking money, right? And Vinny, in the risk of being blocked, or that is the product you sell, your opinion. And I said, well, actually, to sell something, someone has to be able to buy it. No one can buy anything from me. They all get it for free, whether they pay or not.
Right.
All right, so this is what James Corbett calls the peer-to-peer economy. He didn't create the term or whatever, he's just using it. He and I, listener-supported, I'm not like in a business associate or anything of James's. I just had him on the show like once last week, I think. And this is the new way for the economy to work. Instead of one person taking all the risk, putting down all the money, and then creating a central hub where everybody has to go to in the middle of the morning and everything in order to do their work, and then one person does all the taxes and does all the stuff and blah 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 blah, and there's all this organization and bureaucracy, blah blah blah. Right. Does that sound like a really smart system to you? A lot of people think it does, because they're professionals. And in my opinion, the world's currently run by professionals. How's that working out for you? Okay. So what you do is you do the direct opposite. You have no centralization. You have one guy creating content and asking for donations. Simple. And then you have heaps of other people all playing their little part, giving you $1 a month, $5 a month, $100 a month, whatever they can afford or whatever they actually value it at. And from one day to the next, you'll be broke. But every single time you ever have a bill come in, you've got the money. No, I'm serious about this, man. This is a real spiritual, weird kind of vibe that I've been coasting on for a number of years, man. Every time I need some money, there it is. I got up one morning and, you know, on bill day, you get up and go into your computer and you go, okay, I got the rent, I got the power, and I got the internet to pay. Shit, that's 500.
Nothing else.
I was like, shit, that's $500. I don't have $500. So go to my computer, log into my PayPal, and there's $500 in there. A donation from one dude.
Wow.
This other time I was sitting at the, and it can be little things as well. I was sitting at my computer, just finished a show, and I had my show on in the morning there, so I hadn't even had breakfast, I hadn't even had time for coffee. It was just like 2 hours a straight show, only just rolling out of bed. I was just knackered, and I was really hungry, you know, and I was really craving a meat pie. Like, really? I was just like, bro, I need a meat pie. Like, that's all there is to it. And all of a sudden, there's this knock on the door. And I go, hello? And it's my mate Dan, and he goes, hey, bro, I got you a pie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and God works in mysterious ways, huh? Well, you know, Vinny, me, I think I got only about 10 minutes just to give you a heads up, buddy.
No worries. God does work in mysterious ways, but only when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're being who you really are, and you're here for a reason, and you're not abandoning people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, people could talk about the karma bank. I take it a bit more literally. I call it the community bank. If you serve your community because your community needs help, when you then ask your community for help after you've helped them, even though they didn't even ask you to help them, you just went ahead and did it because they needed help, then they give back extremely generously, okay? And you build up that community bank by doing good deeds, helping people that need it, and then when you are in the worst of times, you can ask for help and you will receive it 10 times out of 10. But the problem is you need to help people about 10 times as much as in terms of the help that you want. Okay, so if I want $500, I can't just do one job and charge $500. I have to do 10 jobs and charge 50 each. That's that sort of thing. But in my way, it's kind of just, I don't know, people come at me, so I help them when they ask now, because I don't have to go searching for them, and that's basically my lot in life, really. I'm the guy in New Zealand who is there to help the activists because nobody else can, and nobody else will.
And that's funny how you, at least you embrace that and accept that. A lot of people, it's they don't want to look at themselves like a major player on the scene, you know. But everyone, like you said earlier, has to do their part. And I'm just doing my part here in Chicago, hoping others, you know, follow my example.
See, the greatest compliment somebody can give a radio show host is not by following them, but by following their example.
Right.
We're all filled up with these misconceptions. Like, for example, you ever hear that stoners cause car accidents, right? They don't, bro.
It's the exact opposite, actually.
You know who does cause car accidents? Drunk drivers, angry people, people who are in a rush, and people who are on psychotropic drugs. Stoner drivers, in contrast, don't tend to be in a rush, aren't that angry, don't need any alcohol, and don't take pharmaceutical medications.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's funny. You hear that or see the commercials all the time claiming the opposite, but all the studies point to that, like you said, they're actually the most cautious.
I heard a food label person saying, basically, if the food is advertised on television, then it's a poison. Like, if they got money to advertise it, then they're not selling you something that's good. You know?
It's sitting there. I mean, that's almost an accurate statement, you know, unfortunately. I mean,
It's remarkably similar to my two chief general assumptions of life. Number one, if it comes from an official source and they're claiming something, the truth is probably the exact opposite of what they claim it is. And assumption number two is if it tastes really good, but you can't make it in your own kitchen with ingredients you can find, then it's a soft kill bioweapon.
That's true. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's they have a full spectrum dominance here, and it's true.
It's like, don't worry, man, it's just a soft kill by a weapon, you know, it ain't going to get you today.
I'd hate to see, the fast-acting bioweapons, man.
Fast kill food.
Fast kill, give me the fast kill instead.
I want some extra bacon on that, man. Extra bacon.
I guess that will get it done, huh? But that's an intermediate kill weapon.
I've heard a joke today, like, you know how chemtrails get sprayed on this, and the idea is to put a 6 feet under. Well, that's the reason they put barium in it.
Oh, man. They're pushing the limits.
I mean, you can't make this shit up, bro.
No, you can't. You really can't. That's why the truth is stranger than fiction, man. I didn't even realize it so much till after the show, but the title was titled that. But it's a damn accurate title.
Mm-mm-mm. The lighter side of genocide, eh? What you gonna do?
Yeah, there is one, but I guess we just created one today.
Well, in fact, that's exactly what I always say. If there isn't a lighter side to genocide, then you best create one, because dealing with an actual genocide ain't going to help you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Vinny, I'd like to ask you if you'd like to come back on in like another week or so.
Sure, man.
Yeah, in conclusion, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to say?
Well, I think you've all kind of gotten the idea of just the light side and having a bit of fun about this. Just be cool to people, you know. Don't be a dick, bro. Don't be like sarcastic and call people sheeple and talk down to them and think because you know the truth now that you're any superior to any of these people that are walking around. I mean, if you call somebody a sheeple when you used to be one, it's inherently disrespectful and totally full of yourself, which is why I call them slave scum. Which I think is much more accurate, and ultimately, we're all still slave scum. I consider myself slave scum. I consider myself to be the worst possible representation of myself, okay? Kind of like living my life about, I don't know, 3 feet from me, looking back, just going, man, this guy's really, really bad person. How can we screw him over today? And then I have to live my life knowing what I feel about myself and try to do the exact opposite of what my scumbag instincts tell me. Now, if everybody could just assume, you know, just pretend that you're a scumbag and then go about exposing your own scumbaggery within yourself, you might actually wind up becoming the best person and the best version of yourself that you could ever possibly imagine. Because just because you're exposing scumbaggery doesn't mean it's always outside of you. The most important place to expose scumbaggery is within yourself.
That's some great advice, and I love the word scumbaggery, man. I might have to steal that from you, too.
Go for your life.
But no, that's some great advice. But, yeah, thank you. Thanks for joining us, Vinny. And like I said, next week I'd love to have you on again, if you wouldn't mind, man. It's just things have been crazy with my mom. She's been in the hospital since December, and with the moving into the new studio, things have been kind of shaky, so I'd like to have you back on from the new studio.
Sure, brother. As long as we can do it by Skype, because I've had to pay for this call.
we'll definitely do it. We actually have that all set up. I was hoping to do that today, but unfortunately things didn't work out the way we planned, like usual.
Yeah. Well, that's live radio for you, ultimately. And
yeah. Then you put a camera in front of it, just you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, bro. It was very nice talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Thanks for coming on, Vinny. And it was, likewise, it was a pleasure.
All right, well,
thanks for lighting the mood up for me here.
Yeah, well, I tend to be there when people are at their lowest point, and I have an amazing ability to transmute something that really, really sucks into a joke that's just really, really bad. So bad that it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't laughed like this in a while, man. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really do. Things have been a little too serious on my end lately.
Yeah. Well, laughter will keep you alive longer at any rate.
You're right. Okay. Thanks again, Vinny. I appreciate it. We'll be in contact, and hopefully we'll have you back on in like a week, brother.
Yeah, man, I'll
be there.
Keep up
the good work. And everybody check out realgorillamedia.com, like on the screen, and check out actually all the websites. Again, I'll read them off for you. We have the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Definitely check that out. realgorillamedia.co.nz for those in New Zealand. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Definitely check that out. And on YouTube, Mr. News Gorilla Media. And Facebook, Gorilla Media MR News.
Oh, no, not on Facebook, not Gorilla Media MR News anyway. Just search Vinny Eastwood. Vinny, Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood isn't go ahead. Make my news.
No relation to Quinn, right?
According to my mum, we're like 15th cousin twice removed or some crap. I don't know. who gives a crap? I still...
Chair.
I don't know. I don't care that I've got Clint Eastwood in my veins. Ever since listening to Bob Marley, I still wanted to shoot the sheriff.
Oh, wow, that's great, man. But not the deputy. Yeah. Oh, man. But all right, Vinny, thanks again for joining us, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.